Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
All right, if you got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to John 16, verse 19. John 16, verse 19. And for those that are brand new, typically what we do almost every single Sunday is we'll have a portion of scripture that we'll read together. And really, it's like Bible study. We're just going through it verse by verse. Sometimes we'll move around a little bit, but most of the time we'll stick and stay in one place. And that's going to be the case today. John chapter 16, verse 19. And this is an incredible passage where we see Jesus and his disciples, and there's so much emotion here, and God's really going to help us, and I think you're going to enjoy the message today. But John chapter 16, starting in verse 19, then we'll read a few verses, and then we're going to skip down to verse 33 in that same chapter. And today, normally I read from the NIV, but today I'm reading from my favorite translation, the New King James Version. There's nothing like special about that one or anything. I just think it's like a good blend of old school and new school, so that's why I like it. But New King James Version, what's I'm going to read from. If you don't have a Bible in the room or online, they'll be on the screen. Here's what it says. Now, Jesus knew that they, speaking of his disciples, that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." Does anybody receive that word right from the beginning for you? I love that. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. I love the way Jesus describes that, because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Being in the hospital room for all three of our kids, I can tell you, yes, followed quickly by all of that. And by the way, ladies, there's a reason why God chose you to bear children. I'll tell you why right now, because you are stronger than us, okay? Like, you could handle it. I should have got a better amen from the ladies in the room, but anyways. Verse 22, like, I'm being honest, like, oh my goodness, what y'all go through. Anyways, verse 22, "Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full." You're getting some context clues of what we're going to talk about. Now move down to verse 33, same chapter. And here's what Jesus says. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Notice he doesn't say in your job or with your kids or with that perfect relationship. What does Jesus say? "In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." Some translations say trouble. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So good. For those taking notes, I'm calling this message Cheer Up. Cheer up. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much. Man, I just love what you're doing in your house, and I'm so encouraged by it. And Jesus, we know what you said about your church. You said, "I will build my church," and that's what you're doing, Lord. This is your church. It's not theirs. It's not mine, but we are so grateful to be a part of it. And I just pray, God, that as I said at the end of the worship set, Lord, that we would all stay tuned in to the right frequency, to hear from you, no matter what season of life we're in, whether we're here for the first time, second time, or almost every single week. I pray, God, that we would lean in to hear from you, and that you'd speak because of me, but also in spite of me. And I pray that every single person in the room and online, they would leave this message at the end saying, you know what, God spoke to me, God did something real in my life, and I'm better because of it. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This moment we just stepped into in John 16 with the original disciples and Jesus, it's really going to help us in the present. And And a big reason why is because what they were going through back then in this original text, in this original moment, is still so relevant today. You pick this up real easily, but in the text you can see clearly that the disciples are so uncertain about their life and their world and what's happening all around them. And we all know that this translates very easily to 2021, right? Like, we are so uncertain about things, and it's hard to even plan next week, more like less like next month or next year, right? It's like so much uncertainty of what's happening. And here's what I've realized, and you've seen this too. What was so certain, like even little things, what was so certain before COVID is uncertain now. I was thinking about this past week, and like, have you noticed that even how you greet people is weird now? Have you noticed that? Like maybe I could be a little bit awkward. I feel like I got some social, like, you know, I can understand cues a little bit, but like it's challenging. And so like even like somebody like me who's a pastor, and of course I'm around people all the time, and I just never know like how are they gonna respond? What's gonna happen, right? It's a weird thing. And so here's what happens for me, maybe for you, but anytime I'm approaching somebody new, Or anytime I'm seeing somebody that I haven't seen in a while, I'm approaching cautiously. I'm trying to like check out the social cues, right? Like, what's their demeanor? Like trying to figure out, like, how are they handling COVID? Should I put my mask on? Are they going to be offended by it being on? Should I take it off? Are they a strict 6-foot person? You know, like what's going on in their world? Like, can I hug them? Like, even like, because some of the people, they're friends, but I haven't seen them a lot. Can I hug them? Is that socially acceptable? Or are they going to be sanitizing, you know, afterwards? Like, what's happening? And it's happened to me, like, a whole bunch here recently, but I was greeting some people, and again, I thought I realized how they were going to approach things, but I didn't see it the right way, and so I thought they were coming in for a handshake, but they were really just coming in for like a fist bump. I don't know if you've been here like after like COVID, and so what's happened many different times, like the other day it happened like multiple times in a row, like I just haven't figured this out yet. I'm coming in for a handshake, I think they're coming in for a handshake, it's a fist bump, and what we end up doing is so awkward that I almost just cover up their fist like paper covers rock, and I shake their fist. So for those of you that like I did that to, I apologize, okay, that wasn't my plan. But it's like, I don't know. And then I've done one of these things where they come in with like knuckles, and then I come in with handshake, but then I quickly try to adapt. But as soon as I move to knuckles, they move back to handshake. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And so like, I just, you know, it's just like things that were so easy, like no big deal. Now they become so uncertain. And this, of course, like that's a silly example. This goes way beyond greetings. There's so much in our world, our economy, the racial division, the housing market. This is the best way I can describe this next one. Political craziness, inflation. Like, how much time do you have? Because the list, we all know, is very, very long. Our world, this time, is so uncertain. And this same kind of feeling, again, the disciples had in the text, they were so uncertain. And the reason why is that Jesus has told them time and time again, and just had told them that he would be dying on the cross, but they can't wrap their minds around it fully yet. And you can see the confusion. And not just in this passage, but all throughout the time before the cross, Jesus was letting them know, hey, this time is coming. This is what I'm about to do. And they weren't getting it. And so in their mind, they were like, why is Jesus leaving? And how long is it going to be till he gets back? They are so confused. Things are so uncertain. They're trying to figure it all out. And it's in their uncertainty that Jesus gives them some very valuable words that they could use right now, but also that they could use later. And Jesus is going to share those same words with you and me, and he's going to help us today. And so I just got a couple of points. If you're taking notes, get ready to write a couple of things down. But the first point, the first valuable thought and idea that Jesus gives the original disciples and he wants to give to you and I today is this. If you got the Bible open, look at verse 20. This is where this first point comes from. Jesus essentially says this, paraphrasing verse 20. Number one, the first point is this. Jesus says, get ready now. Get ready now. Jesus is like, I know you don't understand it all the way. I know you're confused, but you need to begin to get ready now for what's to come. And we see in this passage, and really see it all throughout Jesus's time here on earth, the genius of Jesus, that he would see what they're going through and to see what was quickly on the other side of this, that the world's going to celebrate, but they're going to be mourning. And Jesus gives them valuable words before the storm, before the pain, before the trial. He's giving them something now that they can use later. And I think that's really important. So can we park on this for a moment? Like, this is really important because here's what happens every single Sunday. And it's not just you when you're listening to me. Anytime that I'm listening to a message, I do this too, okay? So I'm not picking on you. But here's what happens. Within the first couple of minutes of every sermon that we listen to, we're playing it in our mind and we're asking ourselves this question, is this sermon for me or for someone else? And you know you've already done that today. In fact, some of you already started checking Facebook today. You're like, this ain't for me. I'm good to go. But I'm telling you, there is danger in that approach. And I'm not picking on you. We can all do this. And so what Jesus would say to you and me based on this text is like, hey, it may not be for you now, but it's probably going to be for you later. And the problem we run into is during messages, we make that really quick assessment. Is this for me or is it for someone else? And if we say to ourselves it's for someone else, then we kind of tune out. But there's danger to that. What else happens? And in fact, this happens after like lots of my messages. Somebody will come up to me and like, Pastor, that was such a good word. I wish my neighbor was here. And I want to look back in love and with a big smile like, hey, maybe it was for you too, you know? But like we have that tendency. And I'm just telling you, when you get to a mature place in your faith, if it's not for you now, you learn to save it for later. Maybe it's not helping you right this moment, but it could help you tomorrow. It could even help you later today. I think Jesus would say to you and I, based on this text, that if you ever feel like the message isn't something you can use today, save it in your pocket for later. And specifically with pain and struggle, Jesus is showing us that the best way to make it through a future struggle is to be prepared before the struggle. This is why I have a requirement to marry like a couple, like to officiate their wedding. I have a requirement that they have to take premarital counseling. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, why in the world? They're not even married yet. Why would they need counseling? Here's why. I believe that not only should you run to a counselor, and yes, you should, when there's a struggle, but the best thing, the better thing to do is to go to a counselor before the struggle to give you tools that you can use later on during the struggle. And we do this with our cars, right? Like we'll do routine maintenance on them. Before you buy a car, you usually take it to a place for them to inspect it and look at it, right? Like, we do this stuff in other areas. Why don't we do it in marriage? And then I wonder just in life in general, why don't we make sure that in the good seasons, we keep running after Jesus, that we don't wait to the struggle, that we build up some faith that's going to help us not just now, but later. Are you tracking with me, Christ's covenant? Jesus says, get ready now. Get ready now. Here's what I've learned, and here's what Jesus is talking about. Storms in life, we all face them. And again, some of you are in that storm, so like you're almost falling out your seat. You're like, I need this message. Others of you, maybe you're not in a storm right now, but spoiler alert, there's a storm coming your way. Like, I got a forecast for you. A storm is coming. It's not like if, it's when. And so what I've learned and what Jesus talks about here is that when a storm comes in our life, that's not a great time to build a foundation, right? What do they do on construction sites during storms? They shut down the building. They stop and they wait for the storm to pass. Here's what I've learned about storms, and here's what Jesus is talking about, that storms reveal foundation. They reveal what's already there. And so Jesus is like, hey, get ready now. Hey, things are great. That's awesome. That's amazing. Don't back away. Run after God even more. Oh, I just got a raise. Or, oh, my kids are, they're doing great. I'm so proud. That's awesome. Praise God for it. But don't back away. You should run after God even more. Get ready now. Lean on Jesus now. Tie your hope and your joy around Jesus in the present. Learn to trust Jesus now. Make sure you have the right perspective now. You get a word from God now that will help you later on. Like, I'm just telling you that if we would go after Jesus even more during the mountaintop moments, it wouldn't just be an awesome thing for then, but it would help you and I later on. And so Jesus says, get ready now. He wants to deposit hope in you now that you could maybe withdraw on later. All right, here's a second lesson from Jesus on how to cheer up even in a difficult season. And this second point, like, it set me free this last week. I've read the Bible cover to cover many different times, lots of times. I know what you're thinking. Well, you're a pastor. I hope you read the Bible. And I'm not trying to brag or anything like that. But what I'm trying to say is that I saw something this last week that I had never noticed before. And that's what I mean. And that's what I'm talking about, that it set me free. It was fresh revelation. I think it's going to help somebody else. If you still got John 16 opened up, look at verse 22, the end of verse 22 in particular. Here's the second point if you're taking notes. Jesus tells us this: joy can't be taken away, it must be given away. Oh, this set me free, and I hope it's going to set some people free in this service. Joy can't be taken away, it must be given away. This helped me so much this past week, and I know it's simple, but it was powerful and encouraging to me. Jesus tells the disciples very clearly, doesn't he? The end of verse 22, that no one can take their joy. The devil can't steal their joy. The bad diagnosis can't touch their joy. The struggle at work or in their marriage can't cover up their joy. Jesus says the only way you can lose your joy is to give it away. And I want to illustrate this a very simple way. Pastor Dante, would you come on up and help me out? I've got here in my hand what all of you have in your hand or in your pocket, and it's a smartphone. Some of you have refused to go Mac or Apple, and so you got something else, and I'm not trying to I think I'm shining on you. I'll turn it around. But I got an iPhone here, and it ain't the newest one, but how many of y'all know they're expensive, right? It's not cheap. And this phone was not given to me. I bought it from T-Mobile. Now, I didn't want to go T-Mobile. This is not like a little like commercial for T-Mobile. I was forced to because they bought out Sprint, okay? So I bought this from T-Mobile. And this phone has a lot of value. So let's just say it represents my joy for a moment. But this phone has a lot of value to me. Not only like numerically dollar amount, but also I've got things on this phone that I don't have anywhere else. I've got stuff in my calendar. Dante knows, all our staff knows, I'm all about that iCal, okay, that calendar. Trying to make sure that I manage my time well and that I'm honoring God with my time. Not just that, but there's text messages and there's photos of my, how many of y'all know we used to keep our kids' photos in our wallets and your wallet got real thick. Now they're all digital. And I got photos of my kids and my wife on this phone that are nowhere else. And so if someone took this phone and this phone broke, I'd be in trouble because they're all right here. So again, this represents my joy. And here's what Jesus is saying. And I want you, Dante, try to take away this phone. What Jesus says here is that no one can take away your joy. No one can take away this phone. Like, you keep trying, man. Like, not too hard, but just kind of try, you know, for the illustration. Like, he's full-time student pastor, part-time bodyguard in the office. This is where the illustration breaks down because he probably could really take it if he wanted to. But just use your imagination, okay? I would have brought a kid up here, but I'd be scared that the kid would take it from me, and so this is going to be better. So just kind of try. So Jesus says this, that like you can't have somebody steal your phone. You can't have somebody take your joy. Like they can't do it. What does Jesus say? You can only give it away. Like, think about this for a moment. Like, Dante doesn't have the authority or the power to take this phone from me. He doesn't. But all the time, you can let go for a second. All the time, here's what we do. We tell people and we tell ourselves that someone stole our joy, but really we give it to them. You can have that. Hold on to that for a second. And here's what I do, at least. When my joy is gone, I love to blame it on other people. The reason why I'm in a bad mood is because somebody did this to me. Somebody said that about me. Like, I'm like, hey, guys, somebody stole my phone. Somebody stole my joy, but they didn't really steal it. I gave it to them. What does Jesus say so clearly? No one can take away your joy. No one. Like, y'all heard me, right? No one. That's not your spouse. That's not your kids. That's not your crazy boss who needs to see somebody because they got issues. Nobody can take away your joy. You give it to them. And so some of you today, I know it's real simple, real basic, but some of y'all need to get your joy back. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you so much, Pastor Dante. Some of y'all need to take your joy back. Some of you need to stop blaming other people for something you did yourself. This is what I do when something bad happens. When, like, I'll say it to you this way. What happens to you doesn't have to control you. Can I say that again? What happens to you doesn't have to control you. I ain't picking on you. I'm preaching this message to myself like I do every single week. So what I do is I blame my bad mood. I blame, like, how upset I am because of a situation. I don't know if anybody thinks like I do, and if you do, I'll pray for you because that's a little bit scary. I have these whole, like, scenarios that, like, play out in my mind, but so often I'll have this thing play out in my mind, and it gets underneath my skin, and I tell myself this all the time. Like, I never thought in a million years it would go like that. Oh, man, I thought that would have gone differently. So I replay it in my mind over and over. Oh, I thought it would have went this way. I thought it would have went that way. I didn't think they were going to say that. I didn't think they were going to do that. And so what can happen for me is that based on whether I had a good day or not at the office, coming in, meeting with people, and whether I have a good day or a bad day, I can bring that with me home to my wife and kids. And I'm all upset and they didn't do anything. And what's my excuse? Well, it's because of that person. But what does Jesus say? That's not a mature response, is it? Maturity is that you realize, hey, no one can take away your joy. Like, they don't have the power. Even the devil, doesn't that encourage you? Even the devil doesn't have the power and the authority to take away your joy. You got to give it. Give it away. You got to give it. Give it up. And so Jesus is looking at these disciples, and he gives them this really important promise. No one can take away your joy. I'll say it to you in a different way. Real joy, lasting joy, is not circumstantial, it's personal. Real joy, lasting joy, is not based on whether you had a good day or bad day, or a good week or a bad week. That's not joy. That's counterfeit joy. That's happiness, really. But how many of y'all know happiness, it is fleeting? just even think about like our government, and what's it say in our documentation at the very beginning? Like, you can pursue happiness. Never says you're going to attain it. Right? And so we're not talking happiness. That's counterfeit joy. We're talking joy that's not circumstantial. It's personal. It's found in Jesus. True joy doesn't come from a circumstance changing, but the one who never changes. That's why you can have two different people battling cancer, same exact cancer, same exact stage, and one person's got joy and the other person doesn't. I'm telling you, real joy is not based on how good or how bad things are going. It's wrapped up, it's tied in, it's lassoed around Jesus. What's happening to you doesn't have to control you. Now, before we close, I want to reread verse 33 again because it is so, so good. A couple closing thoughts and then we'll pray. But if you got the Bible still open, or if you closed it, open it back up. John 16, 33, still New King James Version. I love this verse. Some of y'all need to put this on your refrigerator. You need to memorize this. Believe it or not, we got people that get tattoos after I preach some of my messages. It's a long verse, but still, it'd be a good one to tattoo. Oh, can you get tattooed? Yes, you can. Talk to you about it later. I know old school, it's like, I don't got, we'll do another series one day about like questions and we'll go through that. But John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, Jesus talking, in Jesus, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Somebody shout, cheer up. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love that. Some of you have already memorized this verse. I have overcome the world. Like, church, you got to get this word from Jesus deep into your heart and soul. Because you see, there's a misconception out there with new Christians, or how I like to say it, soon to be Christians. There's a misconception out there. There's this misconception that I give my life to Jesus and everything's going to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, something's wrong with me, or it wasn't real. Some of you are like, yeah, that's out there. I've thought that, or I kind of think that. But that's not true. Like, what does Jesus say in this passage? What's he say in verse 33? He doesn't promise that when you give your life to him that you're going to lose 15 pounds, never get a speeding ticket. Like, don't you wish that was true? I wish it was true. He didn't promise that everybody would be able to pay their bills easily and we could all retire early and live on some island. He didn't say that. He doesn't, does he? Like, no. Oh, the contraire, right? Like, he's like, no. You will have trouble. There is tribulation coming. Like, this is probably the worst commercial for Christianity ever, but I'm going to give it to you. Like, when you give your life to Jesus, get ready, because it's not going to be easy. You're going to go through some stuff, but guess what? You'd go through some stuff anyways. So wouldn't you rather go through some stuff with Jesus? Jesus never promises you a perfect life. He never promises you that you wouldn't lose your job. He never promised you that you wouldn't get sick. He never promised that you wouldn't face pain. But here's what he did promise in verse 33, that because he has overcome the world will not be able to come over you. So stop giving your joy away. Nobody stole it. You gave it away. Nobody can take it from you. Stop settling for counterfeit joy instead. Don't settle for the quick fix that leaves you wanting more. Don't settle for drinking 3 glasses and then 4 glasses, but you're really just numbing yourself and you're missing moments. Don't settle for comparison where you feel better about yourself for a minute by tearing down someone else in your mind. Don't settle for social media joy where you post something and you're checking every 5 minutes to see how many likes you've got. And if you get a lot of likes, you feel good about yourself. Don't settle for that. Don't settle for trying to show everyone in the church how spiritual you are and how much you know about God and the Bible. That stuff isn't real joy. It's counterfeit. It won't last. It keeps running out. But real joy, it's not circumstantial, it's personal. It's wrapped up in Jesus, in your relationship with him. Some of y'all, today's gonna be your day. You get your joy back. You get your joy back. Close your eyes with me, bow your heads all across this place. Jesus, I pray, Lord, for those like me that maybe at times in their life, maybe even now, they've given away their joy. We would shout about, hey, someone stole it, someone did this to me, someone said this, the diagnosis. No. Jesus, you promised that even in great pain, even in great struggle, no one could take away our joy. Not even the devil himself has the authority or the power. No one does. And so I pray, God, that we would take it back. I pray, God, that you would help us to wrap our joy around you. I even think about the disciples, so much uncertainty, not even fully wrapping their minds or their hearts about what was to come. But Jesus, you spoke to them before the struggle, before the pain, that if they could get ready now, it would help them later. That if they would hold on to their joy now, they could keep it even through every trial that they would face. And I just thank you for the promise in your word straight from you, Jesus, that you will turn our sorrow into joy. I pray, God, for anybody that's been taken in counterfeit joy, trying to do all these things to feel better for a moment. I pray, God, they would get rid of the counterfeit stuff and they would go after you, Jesus. You never promised that life would be perfect, but what you did promise is that you would overcome the world so the world would not have to come over us. Thank you, Jesus, for how you're speaking and how you're ministering. Thank you, God, for those that have come in hurting, but they're going to leave cheered up because of your truth and your word. And I pray, God, for those that this message, maybe they feel like is not for them today, I pray they'd hold on to it. They'd save it in their pocket for later. Storms, friend, they're not times, they're not seasons to build your foundation. Storms reveal the foundation that's already there. And I pray lastly for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you, I pray today would be their day of salvation. I pray today they would give their life to you. I pray today they would make you their personal Lord and Savior. Friend, you can do that right now in the room online. Come on, don't miss this moment. All the saints are praying right now. This is your favorite part of every service, a chance for somebody to give their life to Jesus. This isn't routine for us, Christ's covenant. This is why we do what we do. If you're here today in the room or online and you're far from Jesus, I encourage you to give your life to him, because he's the one that can save you. He's the one that will give you lasting joy even through the pains of life. He's the only one, power and authority to forgive you of your sin. So Jesus, right now I lead some people in this room and online. I lead them in that prayer of surrender. You can whisper to him, repeat after me right now. Just whisper it, not out loud. Just whisper it. Lord, we give you our lives. We give you our past, our present, our future. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. We ask you to make us new. We make you our personal Lord and Savior. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship with you, Jesus. So we give you everything. We surrender. That's the best way we could say it. We surrender our life to you. Thank you, Jesus, for those that are saying that prayer. For the first time, some as a fresh commitment. God, we give you glory and honor. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you, God, that you turn sorrow into joy. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website, or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.